Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We just finished off. We're in the middle of the Amud. We're up to the two dots, which is, starts off with Omer Rav Nosson, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 lines, medium-sized lines, basically in the middle of the page. Omer Rav Nosson Bar Mar Ukva, Omer Rav Yehuda. So, we're in the middle of discussing some of the intricate details of Kriya Shema. Last week we discussed what kavana a person should have during the Shema, and specifically at what part of the word Echad the person have all these different kavanas. Is it supposed to be maybe before the word, after, during the Ches? Okay. So here we have a new halach. He says, Alulavecha, since the Pasuk says that the Shema should be Alulavecha, which means that there's an element of kavana involved, Ba'amida. It means that a person needs to say the Shema standing still, which implies that the entire Shema and the every single time you say the Shema in the morning as well as in the evening, you always have to say the Shema B'amida, specifically standing, right, which is very difficult to understand. Because
how does Lavavcha have to do with Amida? Lavavcha is on your heart.
Right.
What does your heart have to do with
right, standing? Nothing. Apparently nothing. that's probably the question the Gemara asks here when it asks, Alulavecha Salka Daitach. What is it? You're actually telling me that standing up has something to do with Alulavecha, of having Kavana? What does that mean? And that you should have Kavana in that means. Ela'ema, this is what the Gemara is really saying. Ad Alulavecha, until you get to the parts Alulavecha of the Shema Ba'amid, that you have to be standing still. Kanvielech, from that point on, lo, that's not necessary. So what exactly is going on over here? So start off with Rashi. Rashi says in the middle of the page, Rashi is always on the inside, closest to the binding, Ba'amid. Rashi is Ba'amid. Afilu lebeis hillel. According to the opinion of beis hillel, when it comes to standing still, that diarinan, as we saw, we see in the brackets in Rashi, tells us it's in yud aleph amud aleph. We saw this previously in the Mishnah, machlokas beis shemeis hillel, in the first parak. Oskin b'malachta b'karin, a person can be engaged in work and still say the Shema and be yotzei. U'mahalchin b'karin, and you could even be traveling and say the Shema as well. That's what the Shita Beis Hillel is, which we hold on. However, Modin Hay, even they, the Beis Hillel, agree to Tzarech Lamod B'makum Echa. That while you're traveling, you can't say the entire Shema, even the beginning, while you're traveling. You have to at least stop your traveling for and stand in one place, Ad HaMikra HaZeh, until this part of the Shema. Because up until this point, you need to have some element of kavana.
Maybe it means you need to remain in one place. You could be sitting down in one place. Where does it say amida? I could understand having to be, you know, okay, you could be sitting, standing, but you're not traveling around. You could be sitting then.
Right.
Oh, Tosis, where does the word amida come from?
Tosis is going to discuss that in greater detail, which will be the third Tosis. Let's just get to the two dots, and that question will maybe be addressed by Tosfos. Let's just finish this off, because that first opinion said that you have to stand still. Apparently, you can't have kavana while you're walking. Rather, you have to stand still up until Alavavecha, because that part you need kavana. Until that, afterwards, you do not need kavana. We can't be al flow. So, continues in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Oimer, come on. Kol Parsha Kula B'Amida. He said, Rabbi Yochanan holds the entire Parsha, and the first paragraph you need to be standing still. Now why does he require the whole first paragraph need to be standing still? The other Rabbi Yochanan Tanya. Rabbi Yochanan goes according to his reasoning. The Omri says, the Omri Rabba Bar Bar Chanam, Rabbi Yochanan Lachuk Rav Achla Shem Rishim Rabbi Yehuda. Which, that was the opinion, the Shita, that the Shema needs, the whole first paragraph needs to have Kavanah. So, whichever way it is a machlokas, is a dispute. Exactly how much kavana a person needs to have, at what point.
Can I ask you a question? Halakhically.
Yes.
And I had gotten an answer to this a number of years ago. I am in the habit of standing many times, particularly as Myra. And the reason for it is I find I have better kavana.
Yes.
I find that if my mind is wandering or if I'm getting a little tired, because I tend to get tired early in the evening and then get a second wind from work all night or whatever.
Right.
That keeps me focused a lot better than sitting down.
Right.
And also, if I'm late with the smog in the morning, which unfortunately doesn't reckon the punctuality happens, if I'm standing, I find that I focus better.
Right.
I had been criticized by some people saying you're supposed to be sitting for the smog. I had asked the Shaila about that, and I was told that you can say it standing, but if you say it standing, you have to say the whole thing standing.
Right.
Now maybe that's got to do with not moving around. What?
Shlich Tzibur stands.
I understand that.
So he's not Yotzei?
I understand that. But the Shlich Tzibur, of course, is Yotzei, but I'm not the Shlich Tzibur.
I don't have to do it. He's still on the board. The fact is, the Shlich Tzibur doesn't mean
being,
do anything.
You could say I'm
being Horei Shlich Tzibur. Well, wait a second. I'll answer your question. When you say Tal, the Shlich Tzibur says Tachna, doesn't he sit down like everybody else?
Yes.
So, you're based on Shlich Tzibur. If your logic is the same thing, because it's Shlich Tzibur, no. So obviously, you're allowed to stand, because you Yotzei.
It's a little different. The Shlich Tzibur is standing for most of the davening, and most of the...
So why are we allowed to sit for Tachman? Tachman is not as important as Shema.
No, it's not a question of the importance. The question of Tachman is that he wants to be bending his head down.
You could bend your head down standing by a beam or two.
If you want.
I mean, I'm trying to be the devil's advocate with you, but I'm just saying to you. But you said that because Shlich Tzibur is Yotzei for the Amida.
But I'm saying for practical purposes, I'm saying the Shema standing up, which I think there's no problem with doing. Am I obligated to stand for the entire Shema? Can I sit down for the second or third paragraph? I probably wouldn't anyhow.
So we mentioned on Yud Aleph, Mud Aleph, that Beis Shammai holds that night you have to lie down. In the morning you have to stand. That's how he interprets the pasuk B'shach B'chach B'mecha. Physically lying down at night.
Lying down, it's not even sitting.
Right. So according to Beis Hillel, he says, no, it says, Blech T'chavaderech, you can do it anyway, even traveling, it's no big deal. So it's brought down that if you can say the Shema in any way, standing, sitting, whatever. So the question is, what happens if you start, it's the nighttime, right? It's nighttime. Better yet, it's the morning. Makes a more practical example. It's the morning, and you're sitting down right now, and you get to Zman Kriya Shema, and then you stand up. So, according to the Gemara brought down, that you're not allowed to do that. Because if you do that, then you give the impression that you're holding like Beis Shammai, that you purposely in the morning stood up, because that's what Beis Shammai Sheet is. So when are you allowed to stand up for the Shema if you are already standing? If you're sitting, and then you stand up, Badafka, the moment of the Shema, then that gives the impression that you're holding Beis Shammai. So, based on that alone, certainly if a person is sitting, you're not supposed to stand. And maybe when it comes to the Shema at night, it's reverse. Even though it's lying down, once you're standing, you shouldn't sit or give the impression that you're going against that opinion of Beis Hillel. But I have seen, and I don't have a source for it, that you're supposed to continue to do what you're doing throughout the whole time. But the problem with that is this Gemara, because this Gemara shows the exact opposite. That while you're, even though it says you can travel when you're saying the Shema, but you're not allowed to begin the Shema that way. You have to stop, and then you can continue walking. So we see that there's this break of chain.
Sit down.
Right. It's apparently there's a difference, and there may be a difference between the two. And I'm not sure if Tosis here alludes to that as well. Your question. So let's go into the Tosfos and maybe these questions.
There's some people who say that it's menamukha when you're davening, especially if you're davening yaki, where it's practical, not in the shul, to sort of be walking around as you're davening and not even thinking where you're walking, just that you're moving as you're davening. Some people consider that because they feel that it's like your real kavana and your real concentration is on the davening and not even on the place that you're in, not even standing still, you're just sort of moving around the room.
It's interesting, because again, we're gonna see in halacha whether or not we actually hold like this, but apparently the idea of kavana is that if you're walking, you're not going to have that same level of kavana. So, something to think about.
This is not purposefully walking. This is like you're in a room and you're davening, you're moving around the room, you're just ambling around. You're not moving purposefully.
So maybe there's an imagery, mahalik, which means like
right.
you're walking home. And while you're walking home, you say the Shema, as opposed to you're in the shul and you're pacing or something. Could be. Okay, let's look at this Tosfos over here. All right, the third Tosfos on the top. Al Lavecha. Please, go ahead.
It's all the way.
Can I move closer? Thank you. Okay, let's see this third Tosfos. Al Lavecha. Al Lavecha
Be'amida.
Where are we now? We're in Gimel Amid Beis, 13. Okay, third Tosfos. It's kind of long, but it's not too difficult. Al Vavecha Ba'amida. So he said the Gemara holds that when we say the Shema, you have to stop at a certain point. Which the Maskana of Gemara means that if you're traveling, let's say it that way, you cannot start saying the Shema in that way. But the part where you have to have Kavana for, that you have to stand still. And then afterwards you can continue for the point where you don't need kavana, which sounds like mahalech, when you're traveling, there's no kavana. So let's see this Tosfos. Quotes the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi Mefarish, Lav di'i haya yoshev omed. The way that the Gemara is telling us is not that if you are sitting now, that you should stand up. That's not what it says, that you should stand up until Al Vavecha. Which implies that the only way you can have kavana is by standing. No, that's not the idea. Certainly, if you're sitting, you can continue to sit. And perhaps you should continue to sit. Ella, the Yerushalmi explains the idea of our Gemara, the im hayi mahalich omid. Dakre, the situation where you're traveling, that's when you have to stand still. Afal gab, maybe similar to Rashi we saw. Even though the base hill Amri Kol Adam Kara Kedarko, this hill holds like which will be Paskim like, that a person can say the Shema whichever way they wish. Kol Makom, here's your words that he said, Mitzvah Min HaMukhar Lamod Keshu Mahalich. It's interesting language, Mitzvah Min HaMukhar. It almost sounds like if you don't stop, if you just walk the whole time, it sounds like you're still Yotzei, but it's B'diavad. Mitzvah Min HaMukhar, the best way to do it is to stop Kishuhu Mahalik, while you're traveling. Lafi, and here's the line, which, again, you have to understand what this line means. Lafi she'eno miyushav kol kach, person's not going to be able to really be focused, have yishav adas, and be able to concentrate on what they're saying. Ve'enu yachul l'chavim kishuhu mahalik. Person cannot have the same degree of kavana while they're traveling, kashar hayomein, as when they're standing still. They're traveling, they're focused on what they're doing, their steps. Here they're standing still, more kavana. V'chein halacha, so apparently says the Tosfos, this is the halacha, the mahalich b'derech, person who's traveling on the road, mitzvah lamod b'pasuk aleph. A person should stop for the first pasuk, because as we brought down in the Mechaber, that the element of kavana is not the first parsha, not al t'alavecha, but at least the first pasuk. Exactly. Right. Uve inan, and you have to have kavana, parashamilus of that as well, the words, what they mean. Uve inan, kavana, bapasig rishon, levat. Only that. Vechein isa betanchuma. It's brought down as well in the Tanchuma. It says on the side, Reish Parshas, lechacha. Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Shmuel, Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmuel. Asur kabel of omal chushmayim kishu mahalich. Interesting language. El yamoy veyikra rishagia libahavta yelch ledarkus. It's forbidden to be mekabel of omal chushmayim, which almost you really it's difficult to be mekabel of omal chushmayim. So to try to be mekabel of omal chushmayim, you cannot do. That's the question. What is it? Mahalach?
What does mahalach mean? You're walking or you're riding?
Oh, very good.
Because of the Indian boat, the plane,
exactly.
Today, you know, how do you have what you're passing? But you know, it happens on a plane or a boat. So
you're not walking, the plane is moving.
Sandwich. So what does mahalach mean? Mahalach means traveling, or it means walking. Because, you know, because if you're traveling, you're sitting or standing on the you can sit or stand on the boat, the wagon, the train, the plane, whatever you
well, that might be different. There's a Gemara in Kedushin that asks the question, Rochev k'mahalich dam. Do we say that riding is like traveling? Is that the same din? So the question is, if I'm in a car, or let's say I'm a passenger in a car, and I'm just sitting there, so do I have to ask the guy to pull over when I say the first possible
shema? Well,
fine,
and a car is easy, but I'm saying, let's say you're on a train or a boat.
What about
the plane? Are you going to tell the guy to pull over the plane? In the sky? Oh, please land the plane for me. Excuse me.
You can't.
But I mean, there are minyanim on the El Al planes and a few others.
Right.
But there's a regular minyan on the, whenever I pronounce it, my wife tells me I pronounce it wrong, the Munsey bus.
Munsey bus.
Munsey.
Munsey. My old stomach ever on.
None of my equipment is from Munsey.
Right.
I have to learn how to pronounce it.
It's
right.
It's S. Yeah. Munsey. It's like Muncie, Indiana, even though it's spelled S-E-Y instead of C, you know, with C-I-E.
I pronounce
M-U-N.
M-U-N-C-I as opposed to M-O-N-S-E-Y.
Yeah, but on their bus, they had
the... Yeah, minion all the time.
They had civil suit because they told the women that they can't sit with the men and except they're davening.
Right.
They
won that suit.
I know.
That they're allowed...
But the point is, so what I'm saying
requires
is, so you see that if you're riding along, I mean, you can. So the mahalach must be walking.
That's what it sounds. Based on those observations, that would make sense. And it would make sense because the whole issue is kavanah.
Right.
So if you're sitting on a bus and you're
you're not driving the bus.
What else? So. Then the kasha is, what if you're the one who's driving? Is there a difference between... Can you really have kavanah while you're driving?
No, you're supposed to be concentrating. That's why you can't use your cell phone. You're supposed to be concentrating on the road.
So the question is there a difference between you operating as opposed
driver,
to you just sitting there?
It's like walking and chewing gum.
You think
so? Driving is mostly a right brain activity.
There are more accidents. People on the cell phone drinking cups of coffee. And
because they're not interrupting things. You see, it's the same thing like walking. It's a right brain activity which instantly calls upon the left brain to make decisions should something start to go wrong. So when everything is going right, it's handled automatically like walking. Like if you're walking and you're really not thinking step, 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 and you're not doing that. But as soon as your foot hits something and you feel like you're going to fall, you instantly switch over to make it into a left brain activity. That's just the way it is.
No, but mahalach, if you're walking in, like I said, shema, you pull over, you stop
right.
On the side, and you sit, you stand on your head. I don't care how you do it.
Well,
you say shema.
That would be exactly right either. Because in doing that, you're going to really have to concentrate on balancing.
Something to think about. Let's move on to halach over here. We look on the page where it says Simon Samachimel Leishiv. There's two of them here. This one. Leishiv Bishas Krishma, person sitting or whatever during the Shema, Vayisha, not sleeping. All right. But look at the Gimel. Simon Sif Gimel, right? Which.
Hayim
Mahalik. Right? This explains this particular halach we just saw. Hay mahalach b'derech, a person's traveling on the road. Baratz alikros kriya shema. Sarach lamad b'posik rishon, which sounds like what Tosfos said clearly. They have to stop for the first pasuk. You cannot just walk throughout the whole thing, which Maybe it's a little bit different than Tosis. Sarif Lamud mean sounds like it's ma'akiv, that if you didn't, maybe you're not even yotze. You haven't fulfilled your obligation. That's what it sounds like, because you have to have the kavanah for the first pasuk. According to the language of Tosis over here, he uses the language of mitzvah min amukhar, the better way to do it, which almost, it's not so clear, but maybe Tosis holds that it's almost a chachil b'diyam type of thing. We'll look over down over here in the Mishnah Brura, toward the bottom, which is three, six lines in the bottom. There's a gimel, then there's a tes in parentheses. Hayim mahalich. Someone see that? We're in the fifth line from the bottom in the Mishnah Brura. Afal gab, aleph, ayin, gimel. Afal gab, dil'el, samach aleph, mashma. Even though we saw in the previous simid, it implies the min hadin. According to the letter of the law, mutali kros kishu mahalich, like base hillel, which is similar to what Tosa said, that a person's allowed to say the Shema while they're traveling. Mikol makom, nonetheless, interesting, uses the same language of Tosos. Mitzvah min amukhar, lamod b'shas pasuk rishon. It's preferable to stop during the first pasuk. Why? To ikur kriya Shema. That's the most important part. Lafi she'eno miyushav kol kach. Very similar to the language of Tosos. A person cannot have this yeshiva das be able to focus. Then yochel chavin kishum halif keshehaya yoshi. Unable to concentrate as well walking as sitting. And how we go over here. It says, ubdiyavet im kara kishum halif enosarach lasav likros. Quoting the words of the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim holds that indeed, based on the idea of the mitzvah min mukhar, that Tosus is perhaps also agreeing to this, that b'di'evit, if you just walked and said the whole Shema the whole time,
you'd be outside.
You don't have to repeat it. It's interesting, the language. In Sarach Lachs of Likros, probably means you're yotze.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why can't you repeat
it?
Right,
exactly.
Because it's not Berachos Kriya Shema, the Shema itself. Okay. All right. Maybe the reason for that, again, being sensitive to the reading of Tosis, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes, he says that a person does enu yochel chavin kishu mahal kasher hayayoshe, which doesn't sound like he's saying that when a person's walking, you'll have zero kavana. It means you'll have minimal kavana. So minimal kavana b'di'evit yoyotze, but you shouldn't l'chadchila have minimal kavana. L'chadchila, you should stop to have more kavana. So that's probably the reason. Because otherwise, if you'd have zero kavana, you're not yotze. Okay. Continuing in the Mishnah Berurah, the Yud, Sarech Lamod, you need to stop. Ratzalam, as to say, Lis'akiv B'makom Echad, you have to withhold yourself from continuing to walk and stop in one place. U'muter L'Krosa Bein Bamida Bein B'Yeshiva, you're allowed to read it while you're standing, while you're sitting. V'Yafil Kriyishmol Shel Arvus, even when it comes to the Shema at night, the davka, the only, oh, here you go, the davka only, imshana me'amida yeshiva, also the Kriya Shema Shel Arvus. The only thing we do not allow you to do, and it doesn't say
change what you're doing,
right, but it doesn't say standing to lying down. It says over here, me'amida yeshiva, from standing to sitting. So if you're already standing, you're not allowed to sit down. Also the Kriya Shema Shel Arvus. Maybe that's only at night is an issue because Mishum Dinira Shosika Be Shammai. Because it looks like you're holding Be Shammai. Shammai holds at night, you lie down, or you're not standing, you're sitting down, you're really lying down. So maybe, according to this critical reading of this, is that the issue of changing is only at night from standing to sitting in the middle, or in the morning, vice versa, sitting and then standing in the middle. Because even though the Gemara and Yudal talked about standing in the morning while you were sitting, and you stood at the very beginning. But even according to this, even when you stand in the middle is also an issue. Masha'en kein mahalich l'yeshiva. But from walking to sitting, or walking to standing still is not an issue. It's the whole issue.
Sitting and standing.
But what traveling, once you're engaged in movement, for you to to stop that motion, that's not an issue whatsoever, even to sit. And here's your question. B'yoshi b'karo obasina, if a person is sitting in a wagon or in a boat or on a Muncie bus, it's no difference probably. Eino sarach lamod, you do not have to stop the boat, or however you can do that. Throw out an anchor. D'yochol chavin heitev. Ayin b'shalos and chilos and prima gada. So he says that a person could still have l'chavin heitev, good kavanah.
But it must be that he's not driving the bus or anything. It's just and based on how he continues, you see that I think I'm right.
Oh, okay. Well, so let's finish this up. You're looking ahead, huh? V'rochev al behema, when it comes to riding an animal, and this is actually a Mishnah later on that discusses what to do when it comes to riding an animal. Yesh deis, their opinions, in the Shor HaTzion says, for example, the Bach, the Taz, the Chayonim, Bein Hach Roidim, Benachon L'Hachmir. So it's better to go strict when it comes to that. So what are you saying when it comes to riding an animal?
It's just like driving a car. You can't have a proper kabbonis, you got to stop.
Right. So, so there could be a difference between you being a passenger and being the driver, maybe. Nachon L'Hachmir. Which again doesn't mean
that you have to.
You have to. So in other words, b'shas hadchak, let's say for example you're driving, you're driving to work, you didn't daven shachar at school at shul.
And you're gonna drive going by,
right, you get stuck in traffic.
You can't stop your car, they'll kill you. I gotta say shma, rush hour traffic, you'll be dead.
Pretty much. In New York, that's right. In Connecticut, it's like, alright, that's alright.
Right. Now we got a few minutes.
Yeah, in New York, they won't tolerate that. So, you'd be able, with Shasat Chak, you could probably say the Shema in the Yavin, at least, you know. There's days that you can be, be makel, you can be lenient, but L'chadchila, not. So that's the Indian. But it all ties into Kavanah. More Kavanah, minimal Kavanah. Walking, there's minimal kavanah. Riding on a boat, there is yachol chavin heitev. You can have tremendous kavanah.
Yeah, you're not driving the boat.
Big deal, right? No big deal. Okay, so those are the halachos. Okay, let's continue now. We're up to the two dots. Tana rabbanan. Tana rabbanan. Okay. So the Rabban says as follows. Another very hard 6 words in the Gemara, but we'll try to get through it. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Zu kriyashma shel Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. The great Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who codified the Mishnayos, for some reason, all he was able to muster up was saying one pasuk. He said the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and nothing more. It's very strange. Well, of all people, you would think Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would probably, at least, you know, he's one of the Tanoim, one of the greatest Tanoim, the most famous Tanoim, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, couldn't say more than one pasuk. Very, very strange. So let's look at Rashi. Okay. We're jumping ahead. We'll see Rashi anyway. Luchazina. We didn't see this in the Gemara yet. We'll see the Rashi anyway. Luchazina to mekabel el molch shemayim. There's an opinion which we're going to see that held that he didn't even say the first pasuk. He said nothing. That he was never mekabel upon himself. He never accepted upon himself molch shemayim, which is the Shema. So look at Rashi. Shohayu shayin l'talmidav mikoyin zman kriya Shema, because he was in the middle of teaching his students, and he was so involved in teaching, he started teaching them even before the Zman Kriya Shema. Ukshagia Zman, Lur Isav Masik. He would not even want to be Masik even for a moment from teaching his students. So, therefore, because of that, he didn't say anything, or maybe he stopped for a split second and said Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. Like he was so engaged and engrossed in teaching his Talmidim, for some reason that's okay. We're going to discuss why it's okay to say one pasuk. So what you're learning? So stop your learning. You have a mitzvah to say the Shema, right? You have an obligation to do a mitzvah. Do a mitzvah. We'll have to discuss that in a few moments. But nonetheless, he had some legitimate reason. Obviously, he was learning. He couldn't say it before his shir, because before his shir was not Zman Kriya Shema. It was too early. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad, Zu Kriya Shema L'Shem Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Okay. That's all he said. Omele Rav, Rav Chia. Rav, who used to observe Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, turned to Rav Chia and said, that's impossible. I watch him all the time. And Lo Chazina Le, Rebbe, I never saw Rebbe, which is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the Mekabel El Malchus Shemayim. I never in my life ever saw him be Mekabel El Malchus Shemayim. It's unbelievable, but that's what the Gemara said. So that's what he said to Rav Chia. So Rav Chia turned to him, and Ormelei said, Bar Pachsi, son of princes. Apparently that he was belonged to royalty. He said, you're wrong. He did at least say the Pasuk of Shema. You stared at him every second and you never saw him say it. But he actually did something with his body language that he did say the Shema. B'shah, Shemavir Yadav Apanav, the time that he put his hand over his face, Mekabel of Ol Malchus Shemayim. That was the time that he was Mekabel upon himself, Ol Malchus Shemayim. So, as you thought, maybe he was yawning, and some people that you'll see in the airport, they're davening a mincha, you know, so they're like this, and they're on the telephone, they're acting like they're davening on the... But the truth is, he was covering his face, he was covering his whole face with his hands. That's when he said the Shema. And according to this, according to the Rabbeinu Asher, the Rush is of the opinion that this is the Makar, this is one of the sources of covering your face when it comes to Mimikawa and Shema. Obviously, there's an element of Kavana, of not being able, not seeing, focusing your attention, not diverting your attention. But that's what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi did. Okay, so before we continue the Gemara, there's an obvious question. The Kasha is, it makes very little sense to understand that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was not Mekabel level. He didn't say more than one pasuk, right? How is he allowed to do this? So that's a question we'll have to think about. We'll just finish off this piece, and then we'll get back to it. Before we address that, the Gemara continues and asks, Chozev Gomra... Did he go back and complete it, or did he not go back and complete it? In other words, apparently, you know, he finished the shir hours long, 2 p.m. Did he say the Shema again, or did he not say the Shema again? That's the Gemara's question. So Bar Kapra Omer says Einu Chayz Vegamra. He did not. That's all he said. You can follow him the rest of the day. He was never said any more than the one pasuk of Shema Yisrael. However, according to Rav Shimon Berebi, Omer Chayzim Gomer. No, he must have repeated the Shema. So Omer Bar Kafra, Rav Shimon Berebi, according to Bar Kafra, he says, Bar Kapar, why is this? Bishlam Odidi, I think I'm right. Granted, according to my opinion, Diamina, that I hold, the Enu Chayzim Gomra, that he did not repeat the Shema, I know he must not have said the Shema. I never followed him around. But Hainu the Mahadir Rebbe, the Shmaisa, the Isma Yisis Yitzrayim. If you listen to his classes, every single class, somehow he always ties in Yisis Yitzrayim. The question is, why does he tie in Yisis Yitzrayim? Because the third paragraph, he didn't say. He only said the first pasuk. He said Yisis Yitzrayim and talked about Yisis Yitzrayim. To be Mekayim the mitzvah of, right, remembering the Yisrael Mitzrayim. So therefore, why did he do that? It must be because he didn't do it later. If he did it later, then he wouldn't have tried to tie it into his shiur. He would have just spoke about whatever, and then said, According to you, the Aaron Chayzer Gamra that you hold, that he repeated all three paragraphs of the Shema, so lama leil hadure, so why would he go out of his way to try to somehow segue it into his shiurim? Our answer is no, it's pashut. Kenei lahaski yisias mitzrayim bismana. There's an element of saying and acknowledging yisias mitzrayim, but it's supposed to be done in the morning and night. So therefore, it has to be done bismana, just like krishma has to be done bismana at the proper time. So therefore, the reason why he said it was not because he didn't repeat it later on, but it's come to teach us that he
saying this the right time.
He wants to be done at least bismana, exactly at the right time. Okay. Rashi. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says Chozer Gamra. Did he repeat it? La'acher she'amdu ha'talmidim. After his students basically stood or took part from him, was he able to at that point? They stood up. They were lying probably by his feet. When he finished, did he repeat it? So Rashi dekamahader l'shanas l'talmidim b'chol yom shmaisa. He would constantly stay over to his students a sugya or an inyan to ispo yisis mitzrayim constantly. B'makom parsha sitzes the emes v'yatzev. Interesting, he throws the emes v'yatzev. That he would always say something which connects to this inyan of parsha sitzes, so that he would be yotzei the mitzvah of yisis mitzrayim. So, but if you, why does he repeat it? Because he wanted to say bizmana, bizman kriyashma. He wanted to say it during the same time, bizman kriyashma. So it's interesting. Yisias Mitzrayim also ties into kriyashma. There's the inyan of kriyashma as well. That it also has to be done bizmana. Has to be done at its proper time. Okay. So, with that said, I'd like to share with you a couple points. Brought down, the Rishonim asked the question. We asked the question that why would Rebbe not be mafsik to say the entire Shema? He only was mafsik for the first pasuk and no more. Why would he do that? Why wouldn't he just stop his shiur for 2 minutes? Big deal, right? After all, there's a Gemara in Shabbos that says, "Afilu bi shitarasu umnasai." Even if your Torah is your whole life, your livelihood, your work, masig with Kriya Shema, even that person has to stop. So why would he not stop for all three paragraphs? So the Rashba tells us something amazing, which not everyone holds of. We'll see on our sheets on the next page later on. That the Rashba holds here that it's a raya that dafka pasig rishon chumina type, that the only the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael Shem Echad. That's the only part which is mina tayr. The reciting of the Shema, which is a deraisa, a shach b'chal kamecha, is only the first pasuk.
How do we know that?
From here.
But it says the whole first parsha, the whole second parsha is mina Torah. It's written in the Torah. It's not something the rabbis made up.
It is in the Torah, but you don't. Parshas Bereishis is in the Torah. But you don't have to say it as part of the Shema, right? So, according to the Rashba, which is not necessarily the opinion that everyone agrees with, so we're going to see it's a three-way machlokas, he is of the opinion that only the first pasuk of the Shema is the mitzvah of the Torah. Everything else connected to it, which of course are psukim from the Torah, is midrabban. And therefore, the Rashba felt that this is why this is a riot. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi only to stop learning Torah, which is deraisa. So the mitzvah deraisa on the Shema, that I'll stop. But when it comes to the rest, I'm going to interrupt Torah for.
I'll say the mitzvah patur min mitzvah, basically.
Yeah, it's something along those lines, right? So therefore,
at least for
that piece.
Not going to stop with deraisa for the
rabbi. Right. Even though he's also reading Pesukim, which is learning, I guess, but the element of it is really Minerabbanan. Okay, so that's what the Rashba says, is a raya from our Gemara. The Pre-Chadosh says that's not true. The Pre-Chadosh says it's not necessarily true that it's any raya from here. Rather, it's possible, says the Pre-Chadosh, the Shtei HaParshios Him Minatar. The first two paragraphs are Minatar. After all, both paragraphs say V'shach B'chal Kamecha.
Right.
The whole two paragraphs. I If it's true that the first two paragraphs are midoraisos, then why would Rebbe Yehuda Nasi only stop for the first pasuk at all, and that's it? But he wouldn't say the other ones at all. He would not say anything. The Gemara says he would only say that pasuk. Not that he wouldn't have kavana for the rest. He wouldn't say them at all. Not according to the opinion of the Pri Chadash. According to the Pri Chadash, you have to say both paragraphs midoraisa.
So how did he get away with it?
After all, we said the Gemara holds that if you're even if Tarasa Umnasa, even if it's your livelihood, you still have to be mafsik for Kriya Shema. So he says like this: the only time the Gemara said over there they have to be mafsik when it comes to your learning is all for to say the Kriya Shema is Lami Shalomid L'Atzma. If you're learning Torah by yourself. So you're learning Torah by yourself, so you have to stop and say the Shema. However, what was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi doing over here?
He was teaching Torah, right?
Mi shalomid barabim in lo lahafsik. Says the Pri Chadash that even though mid yoreisa he's not really mimikayim midst of the Shema, but the only reason why we require a person to stop is if he's learning Torah by himself. But if he's being marmitz tayyib around him, so it's not just the vort that he's being mafzik to say the Shema, but he's really causing a whole group of people a couple minutes of bittul Torah. Right? They're not learning because while I'm acting like such a chassid, like such a tzaddik, you're sitting there yoshev adoyim, you're sitting doing nothing. So according to the Pri Chadash, he holds that takadi, even though there's a mitzvah of saying the Shema, is both paragraphs. But if you're oisik in a mitzvah teaching Torah Barabin in a group, then you don't have to stop, except for some reason, the first pasuk. Apparently the first pasuk, even though he wasn't yotzei, it's at least to be makabel malchus shemayim, even though he wasn't yotzei the mitzvah shemayim. It's brought down another kasha. It's in the Shalom Meshiv asks the question. It's brought down that what was he doing? Rashi said, as we saw, that he was teaching his students. When did he begin teaching his students? Before Zman Kriya Shema. So he couldn't have said the Shema at the top, before. Now we know that if he was starting to teach before Zman Kriya Shema, he didn't want to be mafsik, even for a brief moment, except just to say the one pasuk, he was probably not wearing tefillin either. He wasn't wearing tefillin. Why? Because if he started the shir before his man Kriya Shema,
so it's before time to daven.
It's before, right? It was before his man tefillin.
Right.
So he's not allowed to put on tefillin either, which means Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was not wearing tefillin when he's giving the shir. So when he started the shir, he wasn't wearing tefillin. Says the Shalom Meshiv, must be he wouldn't stop his shir to put on his pair of tefillin either, because he's not going to stop his shir to say the Shema. He's not going to stop the shir to put on a pair of tefillin, which will take probably the same amount of time. So he asked the kasha. There's a Gemara that says later on that when it comes to saying the Shema, there's an inyan that you have to wear the tefillin. If you don't wear the tefillin, it's considered, the language of the Gemara is nearly being made a the sheker la'atzmo. That's the lashon of the Gemara. It's a euphemism. You're giving false testimony about yourself because you're saying... I'm saying too much already. So this is what he says over here. It must be that he wasn't wearing the tefillin. It must be Taikar Krishma Bula Tefillin. He said this, and he says Kivan Dahay Ones Beemsa Limudo. It wasn't something which he could possibly control. The Muchach Dahay Taikar Krishma Bula Tefillin, having commanded in a Shekel Atzma, that which we said that a person who wears tefillin, not wearing tefillin, saying the Shema is wrong. So how could he have said the Shema without wearing tefillin? It says davka kishosekin b'mezit. The only time it's prohibited to say the Shema without wearing tefillin is if you could have put them on, but and you didn't. That's when you did something wrong. Avim osekin biglal shemuchach einu mechlal zeh. But in this case, he didn't do anything b'mezit. He's not giving a shit. So the fact that he's saying the Shema without his tefillin, that he's not considered to be having done anything wrong. But beautifully, the Minchas Yitzchak says no. I almost said too much right away. The Minchas Yitzchak says, what's the reason why you're being made a sheker? because you're saying the paragraphs of the Shema. And in the paragraph of Shema, Ukshartem Osal, right, Vahayu Totafos, you're mentioning tefillin. God, this mitzvah tefillin, and what are you not wearing? Tefillin. That's the Eidus Sheker. That's the false Eidus. So beautifully explains, why is it not an issue of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi saying the Shema without tefillin? It's not because he said the Shema without tefillin and it was beyond his control. No. It may be even beyond your control. You also shouldn't say, you should not say the Shema without tefillin. But over here, what was he saying? He was only saying the first pasuk. He only said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So the only issue of it being made in a sheker of saying the Shema without tefillin is if you say the whole Shema. Because you're saying the parts which talk about tefillin. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi didn't. So therefore it's not an issue.
But what about Shabbos?
What's that?
Tefillin, you say Shema.
Oh.
Is that
a
sheker? So you're not supposed to say Shema
on
Shabbos?
No. I do wear tefillin, but today I'm not mitzvah to wear tefillin.
Fine, but so I would say so, but the Abbot didn't wait till him. You'd say it's nothing to give me the sheker. In other words, you can look at Shabbos and say.
Okay. In other words, you're saying that it could, you can draw that same similarity, that just like on,
yeah,
just like on Shabbos.
Shabbos, you're not eating the sheker. You can't wait till him, but you still, you're reading the parsha of tefillin and everything. You're not changing the Shema. You don't have a special Shabbos edition Shema.
But it's not even that you're not assuming that it's tefillin that day. It's tefillin moves on that.
I understand that, but you're still, yeah, you're still saying all the words of Shabbat. But you're still saying it. So here we said, but if you say it during the week, you're not wearing it. You're it's an Eidus Sheker. That you mess up saying it. You know, even though it's semantics or whatever you want to say, we're still saying the same words. You should have a special Shabbos edition. You say certain things on Shabbos. We say the big Shema on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Why don't we say, well, 18 brachos, 19 brachos? Well, for Shachros, why do we say 7?
So wouldn't it be the same thing? And Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, and you say Zichron Shuah. We're talking about Shuah, and we're not doing it. Isn't that also Eidus Sheker?
It's not. And I'm saying this is not either, and it's not even. It's not, wouldn't be Eidus Sheker during the week if you look. Like, cause you say it Shabbos, and it's not Eidus Sheker. Why should it be Eidus Sheker during the week if you were Osek in a mitzvah of Limud Torah?
I was, you know, and this is my thoughts. I know nothing to talk about this. But if you're purposely saying it without wearing it, that would be Eidus Sheker.
Fine, but if you're not, it's like you're saying
Masechet Shabbos from the Gemara and smoking a cigar on Shabbos. You know, there's something really wrong if you're saying it and purposely not wearing it. When you're learning about it, that's wrong. I mean, if you're not wearing it because it's oneg, so you're not wearing it because
you're doing the mitzvah, you're teaching.
Then that's not Eidus Sheker. It's a difference there. It's not purposely not wearing it.
Something to think about. It could be a proof, but something which there may be a difference between the two. You have to think about it. So, Rabbi Yehuda, one of the other kashas that the Mefarshim deal with is the Shakvatari over here. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said Shema. Then we had the opinion that says that I never saw him. Mikabel Aleha Malchus Shemayim. Never saw him accept upon himself O Malchus Shemayim, the yoke of heaven. So the question is, as we said, what exactly does that mean? So we saw one answer that possibly he's, because he's learning Barabbim, he's not supposed to. Okay. Another explanation is like this. Quite a few answers probably with this question. It's brought down over here in the Yalkut Gershuni, in the name of Shimon Seifer from Krakow. He says as follows. Now, when it comes to mitzvahs, there's two types of mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of seichel, you understand what you're doing, the basic concept of the mitzvah, and there's mitzvahs which are chukim, things which are beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding. or gezeiras hamelech, Hashem tells us to do so, but we don't really understand it, and we do it anyway. Okay. So, some explain, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was obviously not a simple human being. He was one of the greatest of the Tanoim. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, when it says that I never saw him in Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim, Malchus Shemayim, accepting upon yourself Gzeres HaMelech, means a chok. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, according to this opinion, maybe what it's coming to explain was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was such a great individual that he, even the mitzvahs that to us are chukim, with exceptions, to him he understood them. So I never, because I constantly saw the level, the madrega he was on, that I never saw him being makabel the level of Malchus Shemayim as a chok. I never saw it. Because everything was through Secha, with his knowledge. And the answer to the question was, B'shah Shemar Yadav Alpana Mekabla Vol Malchus Shemayim. That he would cover his face, which the way that it's explained, the way I understand it, is that covering a person's face shows a level of aniva, shows humility, he's humble, which means that even though he was able to really tap into the understanding of the mitzvos, he brought himself to the madrega of being mekabel the mitzvos even through a chok, on the level of not understanding. Even though he understood, somehow he was able to do the mitzvos also on the madrega of not understanding, because it's brought down that which mitzvah is greater. He says, "Kine im kaima shesichlo mechaylo, ein sechar kol kach gadol ki mekayim mitzvahs chukiyot bli tam rak mishum gzeres melech." The greater, the highest level of doing a mitzvah is not because I understand it. I understand it, and it makes sense. Now I'll do it. Because what does that mean? Maybe it means I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. Maybe I won't do it. So a chok, which is on a higher madrega, means I don't understand it. It makes no sense.
But I'm doing
it anyway. So the answer of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was that even though Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was on the madrega of really understanding, he was able somehow to be able to be mekabel himself when it comes to doing the performance of mitzvahs on the madrega of the chok as well. That even though he understood, but he was able to find, even though I understand, that there is a certain cap of my level of knowledge. That at a certain point, to me it's also a chok. And therefore for me it's also something which I was unable to understand. Furthermore, when it comes to the Shema, brought down in the Shas and Chuvos, the Shivat Sofer, it says that the Lashon, the language of reciting the Shema, is being mekabel ol Malchus Shemayim. What is an ol? An ol, when it comes to like an animal, is a yoke. A yoke sounds like it's cumbersome. It's a burden. It's troublesome. It's difficult. So what they said about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was not, was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi ever said the Shema? It means Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who was called, among other things, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who's on the level of being a Kadosh, for him, when it came to the Kiyum of Mitzvos, it was never an Ol Malchus Shemayim. To him, it was never a yoke. It was never difficult. He was always did it b'simcha, b'ava, with love, and with joy. Therefore, that's the Shach Matari could be, no, he was, everything he always did was with simcha, and therefore, he was never mekabel himself Ol Malchus Shemayim. Okay, that's just another way that some of the Farshim deal with that. Alright, let's move on. Alright, we're not going to finish this, but let's just see a couple more lines. We're up to Omer Rav Ila. So in the middle of the line, we're in the fourth wide line. Omer Rav Ila Bered Rav Shmuel. Rav Ila said, the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Marsa, the son of Marsa says, Mishmei the name to Rav. He says as follows. Omer Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad. You say that, apparently that one pasuk, V'nenes Mishina, and
you fall asleep.
Yasa, you fulfilled your obligation. Very strange. It sounds like you didn't say anything other than that one pasuk. Nonetheless, for some reason you're Yotzi. We'll see in halacha whether exactly that's the proper reading in a second. Let's continue. Amar le Rav Nachman Udar Avde. Rav Nachman said to his servant, that was his name, this is what he would say, quote, Psuka kama, when it comes to the first pasuk, Sara, cause me pain. I'm about to fall asleep. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. Don't let me fall asleep without saying the first pasuk. Tvei, look at Sara. Very strange. That's what he says. And more than that, don't worry about it. If I pass out, if I say the first pasuk of the Shema, good enough. don't cause me any problems. Let me fall asleep. Which, again, is a raya to the opinion that we just saw, that a person can just say the first pasuk, and that is Mishina B'yatz. Amar Rav Yosef L'Rav Yosef Berei D'Rabba Avucha. Heichi Havi Ovid. Avucha Heichi Ovid. When it came to his father, what did he say? What was the custom of your father? What did he always tell you to do? So similar. Amar, he would always tell me, the first pasuk, you'd be very careful to make sure not to fall asleep. But more than that, he would not pain himself. Okay. With that said, let's see Rashi over here. Rashi says, there's only one Rashi, Bipsuka kama tsar. First pasuk caused me tsar, pain, I guess. Im Risani, if you see about myself, menamnim, that I am dozing off, sareni, cause me anguish, wake me up, slap me around, I guess, achinari yafid b'pasuk rishon, until I'm really wide awake for the first pasuk. So let's look over here on Hulach, which is on page 194, the other page that we haven't seen yet. Halacha hey. Im hayashin. If a person is sleeping, right? Mitzaramoso, we cause him some problems, wake him. Meirmoso, we wake him up. Ad shiikra pasuk risha. We want him to at least read the first pasuk. Now, let's read the rest of the Mechaber, which seems to be against our Gemara, which we'll probably not be able to finish. We'll discuss this whole lot to talk about. V'hu Ermamish means that he completely is awake. He's wide awake. Mikan ve'elech ein mitzara noso. More than that, we do not paint him. Kedei shikra, for him to read. Right? But when it said, V'hu Ermamish she'af al pishu kara, Miss Nam name Yatza, that even though he's reading it while he's dozing off, he's Yatza, which sounds like what the Mechaber is telling us, maybe we're just reading the Gemara a little bit wrong, is that it's not saying that you only said the first pasuk and fall asleep, but it means make sure that I say the first pasuk with all the proper kavanas. Then afterwards, if I'm not focused, but you, of course, I still have to say the words, implying that if you just said the first pasuk, if you fall asleep afterwards, okay, you're not going to be yotze. With that, we'll have to see afterwards. There's an opinion in the Tziv that holds, really, it's not talking about the Kriyat Shema, maybe we're talking about Kriyat Shema Amita, and the Mishnah Berurah talks about this in great detail as well. We'll continue with that next week.